This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and I'm bringing you a breaking news episode of the Passing Judgment podcast. As all of you likely know, there has been a historic first. The former president of the United States, Donald Trump, has been found guilty of 34 different counts of falsification of business records. He is now a convicted felon. There's been some erroneous reporting that you need to be sentenced before you're a convicted felon. That is not the case. So let's talk about how we got here and what we would expect to see next. First, in terms of how we got here, we know that this case is built first on the falsification of business records, which is by itself a felony in New York. And specifically, what the jury found is that when Donald Trump said he paid his former fixer and attorney, Michael Cohen, that Donald Trump said it was for legal services, but in fact, he was paying Michael Cohen back for Michael Cohen's payment to Stormy Daniels. Why was Michael Cohen paying Stormy Daniels? So that she did not share her story of having an alleged affair with the former president when he was candidate Trump in the 2016 election cycle. Let's remember what was happening then in the 2016 election cycle. This was right after the Access Hollywood tape came out. It was right before we went into the ballot boxes. And so one can understand why it would have been pretty disastrous for the voters to hear Stormy Daniels' story. So the first part of this case involves the falsification of business records. As I said, that by itself is a misdemeanor. So how do we move up to a felony? Well, the prosecution had to show, and they did, that the records were falsified in order to commit or conceal another crime. What was the other crime here that the prosecution pointed to? It's actually a state election law, which I'm paraphrasing here, but says you can't unlawfully interfere with an election. Now, that begs the question, what does unlawful mean here? And what the prosecution did and what the judge allowed them to do is to say it's one of three buckets of crimes. You don't need a conviction on one of those buckets. You just need to be able to point to those and say, that's why you falsified the business records. And so those crimes were, briefly, federal campaign finance violations, tax fraud, or the falsification of other business records. And the judge, Judge Merchan, in his instructions said, you don't have to all agree on what those crimes were that made the election interference unlawful. Some of you can think campaign finance, some of you can think tax fraud, some of you can think falsification of business records, as long as all 12 of you think there was one of those, at least one of those crimes. So that's what happened. The jury deliberated for a little more than a day. They came back. They unanimously found that the prosecution had proved beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump falsified the business records, that that was done with the intent to commit or conceal another crime. And he is, as I said, a convicted felon. So what comes next? On July 11th, there will be sentencing in this case. Let's put out the punchline first, which is, I do not think that there will be prison time in this case. Why not? Because we're talking about a first-time offender, we're talking about nonviolent crimes, and if you look at about 90% of the crimes that fall into this type of bucket, mostly people do not get prison time. Instead, they get something like probation, sometimes house arrest, but I think more likely probation. Now, in terms of the potential aggravating factors here, what Judge Merchan is probably going to consider is that there was a gag order in this case. It was imposed for a reason. The former president violated that gag order during the trial and arguably continued to violate it after his conviction, when he really went after the judge, the prosecutor, said the entire system was corrupt, really a tape of his greatest hits, saying that the entire judicial system is stacked against him, that he's the worst victim of a political witch hunt in our nation's history. I'm paraphrasing, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Now, so I think when it comes to a sentence, we should not expect prison time. But what if there was? That brings us to a related question that I've been getting a lot over the last few days. And that's, as a convicted felon, can the former president vote for himself in the 2024 presidential election or vote for anyone else for that matter? And I think the answer is yes. So here's how it works. Trump is registered to vote in Florida. Under Florida law, I believe what you do is look to the law in the state where you were convicted. In New York, you are allowed to vote as long as you're not incarcerated at the time you would be voting. And so, assuming there's no prison sentence in this case, and assuming that the prison sentence would not fall, if there was one, on top of Election Day, then Trump can, in fact, vote. Now, what about an appeals process? Trump has said that he's going to appeal, and of course he's going to appeal. Every defendant says, I'm going to appeal. And in terms of thinking about the appeal, I want us to think about a couple of things. One is the way this case was charged and the jury instructions related to the charge. And this is where I want to zero in on something that I said when I explained the conviction, which is the way this is charged, this is a novel theory of the case here. And so one thing to look at is that the prosecution pointed to a violation of a state election code, but Trump was, of course, a federal candidate. He was a successful candidate for the presidency. The other wrinkle here is that in finding a violation of that state election code, the prosecution pointed to and the judge allowed them to point to a federal election law in state court. That's another wrinkle. And then there's the other additional issue of the fact that the judge said, and I don't think this was improper, but I think it will be grounds for an appeal, that the jury didn't have to be unanimous in terms of which other case it found, which other set of laws it found, filled in the meaning of that word unlawful, meaning was it the campaign finance violations? Was it the tax violations? Was it the falsification of business records? Which one of those other crimes meant that there was, quote, unlawful interference? Now, other grounds potentially for appeal. I think that the Trump team didn't like the way jury selection went. You could see them say that for some of the jurors, they think that they should have been struck for cause, meaning that they couldn't be fair. I think there will be some allegations that the testimony of Stormy Daniels went too far, something that Judge Mershon kind of said and alluded to outside of the presence of the jury. I've actually changed my mind when it comes to the testimony of Stormy Daniels. At first, I thought, you know, this probably did go a bit far for a falsification of business records case. But then when you step back and think about the entire theory of the case, I think it is actually really important to hear all of the details of the story that she would have told to the American public. Because the prosecution's theory of the case is that this is really a case about election interference. This is a case about unlawfully bearing a story that Stormy Daniels wanted to share. And so hearing all those little details doesn't just add credibility to her story. I think what it also does is show us what we could have heard in the lead up to the 2016 election. So that is, I think, how we got to the conviction. Those are the places where I think there's likely going to be a lot of work in the appellate brief, so to speak. A couple of other questions I've gotten. Can Trump, now that he's a convicted felon, serve as president? And the answer is absolutely yes. The Constitution doesn't bar that. Arguably, the only thing that the Constitution says you can't serve in higher office is if you're convicted of an insurrection. And this case was not about an insurrection. And in terms of other questions, I've gotten a lot of questions of, can he pardon himself if he becomes president again? The answer is no. The federal government and the states are separate sovereigns. The head of the executive branch on the federal level cannot reach into a state and say, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pardon this person who is convicted in state court. That is only for the governor of New York to do. Another question I got, could this case go up to the U.S. Supreme Court? And the answer is only if there's a live federal question, meaning Trump might say that there was a infringement of his due process rights in the way that this trial was run. I'm not sure that there's a super strong grounds for that allegation, But even if he does bring that case, I don't think it is likely that the Supreme Court would hear it. And let's remember that this is a Supreme Court that in the next month is already going to make some really big decisions about Trump and his legal future. And of course, the biggest case that they're looking at, and obviously the biggest case they're looking at, is whether or not the president enjoys absolute or qualified immunity from criminal prosecution. And that would affect the DC election interference case that's pending against him. So what do we have here? I think we have the first and only criminal case, this New York falsification of records case, that will go forward before the election. I hope this helped you understand what was happening and what's likely to happen. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe, and we'll bring you another new episode next week.